What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the second episode of Trey's Room. As always, it's your host, Trey, with B. What's up, B?
What's good, everybody?
And what's going on, Zay?
What is up? So first of all, I want to thank everybody for the support. On the first episode, we got over 50 views on YouTube within 24 hours.
Big thank you. Big thank you. Only heard positive things from everybody, which is it's kind of a good sign, kind of a scary sign. You might be lying to us.
It's deeply appreciated, though. It really means a lot.
Yeah, we kind of feel like we went famous overnight when I woke up to all the love, so.
Then we had 17 followers on Twitter, so.
Enormous.
We're gonna boost that, by the way. Also, I just wanted to clarify on our first episode. Some people said that we might have screwed up the editing, and like some parts we said, oh, I'll cut that out, and we were like all laughing and stuff. We kept that in there on purpose because we just thought it added comedic value.
It was all a trick, and it got you.
Was a bamboozle
conspiracy.
Nah. Consider yourself bamboozled.
No, but we spent I think over what was it like 3 hours
editing. I wanted you guys to be gone by midnight, and we did not. I didn't go to bed till 3 a.m.
We started at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, technically 11. So it took a lot longer to edit. So yeah, we made sure that everything that was in there was definitely on purpose.
And I hope you liked it.
So, unfortunately, our first episode on Spotify had to be taken down. The website that we uploaded to was giving us issues, and we had to start on
They basically got us to the point where we were ineligible to upload to Apple Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts had permanently rejected our show.
We basically got banned from iTunes, so.
We called the technical support. And they asked us what device we needed help on, so we told them that we needed help with our podcast, and they put us over to some other lady who gave us a ticket to go follow up online.
And that's actually where we were before I was on that 40-minute phone call. So we basically went a giant circle throughout 40 minutes for us to realize that we should probably just use a different site.
And DoorDash paid B his $20 back, so we're going to revoke that first episode from F DoorDash, and it is now...
It's all love for DoorDash now.
F Buzzsprout.
Buzzsprout. Yeah, that's
Buzzsprout is what kept us from Apple Podcasts for so long. So everybody go to your local Buzzsprout website and leave them a horrible review.
They're trying to keep Trey's Room from success.
They're trying to keep Trey's Room in Trey's Room.
So the website we are now on is Anchor, and it is uploading our podcast episodes through like 8 or 9 different sites, different places. But anyways, besides all of that crap, I wanted to tell a story about the other day when I went to lunch with Alex. You know Alex, right, Brady?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope he gave you permission to name drop on the podcast.
Podcast
get people killed.
He's gonna hate me. He works 2 buildings over from me, and we got off lunch at the same time, so we decided to drive over to Steak and Shake, and this was the busiest I've ever seen Steak and Shake in a long time.
That's hard to believe, because every time I go to Steak and Shake, I get slower customer service.
Well, it wasn't so much as it was busy, it was that they just looked like super understaffed. Like there was like maybe like 1 or 2 waitresses during a lunch rush. Like it was like prime, like I think it was either at 12 or at 1 when we went over there, so... No, but we were sitting down, and we decided, like, I only have an hour for lunch, and so does he, so we decided to just get it to go. So we walked up to the register, and I shit you not, this man walks out from the back, and they are slammed, right? And this dude's just running around, and he's the dude that's making the milkshakes. This dude walks up to the counter, and you could have easily told me that this man was Jay-Z, and I would have believed you. He looked identical to Jay-Z. Maybe like he was probably like 3 feet shorter and a little bit wider, but his face looked identical to Jay-Z.
Honestly, you've only ever seen him online, so that probably was Jay-Z.
It very well could have been.
So does that make Jay-Z a midget?
I think that makes Jay-Z a short, fat midget.
You heard it here, folks. Jay-Z is the first billionaire rapper midget.
No, but that reminds me of with Steak and Shake taking so long. I don't even remember who all was there. I went to Steak and Shake one time, and there was like 8 of us there, 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember, shout out Gracie, she was working in the kitchen at Steak and Shake.
Oh, I remember that.
And it's not even on the menu, but they have a thing called a 4x4. and it's four burgers and four pieces of cheese on a hamburger. It's like so big you can't even take like a whole bite. Like you can't even take like top to bottom.
That sounds really good, actually.
And every single one of us ordered it at 2 a.m. They had like three people working there, only one or two of them in the kitchen. So they had to go back there and make like over 30 burgers for all of us to eat. And that took probably about an hour and a half before we even got our food.
That reminds me of the time, I can't remember who I went with, but I went there and, you know, Steak and Shake's open 24 hours. So we left the bar and went over there. We were all like, you know, pretty tipsy and stuff. And we all decided that we would get the, what is it, like the triple stack or whatever. It's like.
The three by three?
No, it was it's like the actual burger they have on their menu. It's like three patties or whatever. And we all decided like, oh yeah, we'll get like whatever. It's just a big burger. So I ordered first and I was like, yeah, let me get the triple stack steak burger. And then they went around after that and everybody got a single. And I just looked like the biggest fat ass at 3 a.m. at a Steak and Shake you could ever see.
Is there such thing as being a fat ass after you leave the bar?
I've seen plenty of drunk fat asses in my time.
I don't think that's true.
You ever heard of Hank Hill?
You know why he's fat? Because he sells propane. And who buys propane from
God salesmen? Damn it, Bobby.
Keeping that in. But who buys propane from a salesman? I'm not buying propane from a man named Hank Hill with a bald son named Bobby.
So you're saying Hank Hill is an alcoholic because he doesn't make enough propane sales? Because that is a very depressing underlying storyline.
Did you just call him an alcoholic?
I think that's fair.
I mean, the episode does always start with him and his three friends having a beer.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Which is honestly kind of, I think I want to be there when I grow up. Just the three of us just having a drink in front of a fence.
Are you, is there an echo in the room, B, or did I already talk about workaholics last episode?
I think it's just an echo, Trey.
Yeah, because I think I already talked about three bros growing, living together, having a good time.
So basically what we're getting here is if you want to start and have a good TV show, you need three dudes who just get drunk all the time and it's successful.
They have no priorities. They cannot have priorities.
Nope. And then they just get drunk and then get into issues that are easily solvable, but they're so drunk or they're so stupid they don't know how to solve them.
And honestly, if their podcast hasn't been rejected by Apple Podcasts one time, they probably won't make it too far either. That's what I've heard.
So back to the whole Jay-Z Steak and Shake thing. Let's say, Trey, you and the boys are having a good time, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty late at night.
Sounds like every night.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have a responsible DD. And then we arrive at Waffle House, right?
Yeah.
If you had to pick any rapper working at Waffle House, what would it be?
Like, if I were to walk in and they were just any rapper behind the counter.
Well, I mean, if it's Waffle House, I guess you see them smoking a cigarette out front before you even get inside, but yeah.
I don't know, because, you know, normally, with like B was just pointing, I got a little boat tattoo on my arm, and I really love Lil Boat, but Cordae been snapping lately.
I mean, you got to keep in mind, they're also cooking your food as well. You don't just get to meet them. They're cooking your food.
But if you follow YB and Cordae, he always talks about how he came from the South, and, you know, they're always talking about how they whip up some mean meals down there.
From personal experience, every time I've heard YB and Cordae, he's always cooking up something hot in the kitchen. So
always
he definitely,
cooking something
he definitely
hot
could
in
fix
kitchen.
My plate of food, and it would be hot fire. I would be upset.
I'd have to agree with that.
Can you toss your salad while he's at it? Come on now.
If he wants, I mean.
Whoa. I mean, Trey, your mom and some. Boy, no, don't react like that.
My man just came into my own room and called out my mother.
No, I was going to say, most of your family's from the South, aren't they?
Oh, only my mom.
Oh, only your mom?
My dad is from Carlisle.
So, I mean, she's had to cook up some kind of Southern cooking, though, right?
My dad normally makes food.
Well, where is he from?
Carlisle.
Carlisle's kind of hillbilly.
About his spaghetti. Yeah, I've told you stories about his spaghetti.
Oh, yeah, not
before.
The spaghetti.
Trey will
get on PlayStation, and he'll be like, hey, guys, my dad whipped up some fire spaghetti.
Always fire, bro.
And then the next morning, he'll text me, and he'll be like, yo, I just warmed up some more spaghetti.
Bro, there has been one occurrence where I was so geeked talking about the spaghetti on PlayStation to everybody, and I went downstairs and my dad had like packed it and taken the last bit of leftovers to work. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal when he was making spaghetti, because that was, I would eat that for dinner, I'd midnight snack, like they said, in the morning for lunch.
It's like Taco Tuesdays for LeBron James.
Sometimes I wouldn't even heat it up.
Yeah, he would eat that cold.
You know, speaking of cold things, did you hear that Mr. Epstein passed away?
No. If you guys didn't hear the last episode, we talked about, I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Epstein. Either way, I don't even care about his name enough. But we were talking about how he had, you know, his little ring on his island or whatever. He got put into protective custody, and the speculation is that he killed himself. Now,
I actually read something this morning that I guess the two guards that were supposed to be actively like checking on him every 30 minutes, they wrote down in their like log that they had been checking on him, but I guess it came out that they had slept for over 3 hours straight.
See, that, I already know how you feel, because we've discussed this a little bit, but that's kind of a little bit coincidental, don't you think?
It is coincidental, but I mean, I didn't think they were going to be able to come out with some kind of story as to how he was being continuously watched and was still able to commit suicide. But they came out with a story about how he was able to commit suicide by supposedly being watched, so I still think that it wasn't him, and he got killed because he's supposed to testify for the Clintons.
I think he also very easily could have paid them off, though, too, to say they were checking on him so he could take his own life.
I also saw that once you get like taken off, he had just gotten taken off suicide watch, and I read that once you get taken off suicide watch, you're supposed to be put in a cell with another inmate for a while, just so, like, obviously you won't want to do anything with them in there. And I guess, like, the day that he went into his new cell from Suicide Watch, his other inmate in there got moved somewhere else, and they just never replaced him, so he was in there by himself as well. So, like, the prison that he was at is under some really hot fire.
So, speaking of, you know, watch cells, jail time, whatever, thankfully,
give us a little backstory on your life.
No, I was actually going to talk about A$AP Rocky. I mean, if you want to compare my life to A$AP Rocky, that's cool too. But
yeah, you were probably the guy that was taking it in the video that he got arrested for.
Yeah, that was me. I actually flew to Sweden, got a whole prosthetic mask put on, and went to court with A$AP Rocky. So
got your ass beat by A$AP Rocky. But
I mean, that's a story for another day. No, but he was found guilty, but I read that he literally only had to pay the dude who sued him like $1,400.
I guess like what the big thing was over is they said that there had been reports that one of the cuts on the dude's faces was from Rocky hitting him with a bottle, but they said that they could not get any witnesses to come forward to say that they saw Rocky use the bottle at all. Everybody was saying that he just sat it down, and that's not what happened.
I just realized something. I want to throw out a quick clarification that we basically just regurgitate what we read on the internet. We don't know anything that happened for sure. We just talk about stuff on the podcast that we read online and basically discuss what happened here. We don't know exactly what happened or what happened for sure, and we just talk about what we think happened, basically.
We never really plan out what we're going to talk about until the day of, so this is kind of everything that I've seen today put out on the table.
We also try not to discuss things that we would usually talk about to kind of save first impressions for the podcast as well. Like, me and Trey both kept up on the news about A$AP Rocky, but didn't really talk about it at all. So I want to go on a little rant real quick. So I was on Twitter the other day, and some tweet went viral. And right under the reply tweet, you know how, like, when you reply to your own tweets, like, the first thing at the top or whatever. So girl's tweeting about her cats or something, you know, it's something wholesome, and then you scroll down and the first response is buy my nudes on my premium Snapchat for like something low, like $5.
Yeah, I was told to quit posting that under people's tweets.
No, it's just like you could be on Instagram, you could be on Twitter, you could be on Facebook and anywhere, it's either buy my nudes, subscribe to my premium Snapchat, or it's just a thirst trap.
You want to know the worst part about it?
What?
Is it only took me $53.99 to find out that those were scams.
A month.
No, I know what you're talking about, though. I get a couple DMs a week from these random chicks that I have no idea who they are. They have zero followers. They're following nobody, and it'll just be a random DM that sounds super sketchy, and they want me to buy stuff.
Malcolm posted a picture. I don't remember if it was on Twitter or Snapchat. I think it was on his – actually, it might have been on his Instagram. But it was on PlayStation. Every once in a while, you get a friend request, and it'll be – the username is like PS-girl. And it's like because the impression is that any male gamer in a lobby would go crazy when there's a girl in there. That's how people act. So – They make their username girl like -02 and they'll send you a message and be like, hey cutie, on PlayStation. Like,
right. You haven't gotten one of those?
Oh, I've gotten plenty of those.
I was gonna say I can't even get on PlayStation in peace.
They're everywhere.
One of the things specifically that pisses me off the most though is, I don't know if this is just my way of thinking, but I'll be scrolling through Twitter and it'll be a tweet and it says like, oh, nice guys never treat me right. And then you click on her Twitter profile. She's from California. She's an Instagram model. She's just bad all around. And then you scroll through her profile, and it's all tweets about how she can't find a nice guy.
Can I ask you a question?
What's up?
Who hurt you?
I've been hurt a lot.
Because
no, it's just you'll see some very attractive-looking women talking about that men aren't shit. Or more specifically, you'll see a girl tweet, I'm gonna simplify it a little bit, but it's going to be, oh, I'm so ugly, boohoo, this, that. And then that's when I get mad because you click on her profile and, you know, previous statement, she's from California, yada, yada, yada. Like, it's obviously just a thirst trap. And then you'll have Abdul747569 reply and say something stupid with, like, 7 emojis.
I mean, honestly, if me and you have ever agreed on anything, though, it's that business is business. And that thirst trap probably just brought in followers so that she could get, you know, endorsements from stupid stuff to post pictures on Instagram.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like there's – I mean, do you know who Bella Delphine is? I think that's how you pronounce her name. The girl that sold bathwater.
No need to call me out like that.
Sorry, Brayden. No, I know you know this story. This girl, like, always, you know, posts sexual pictures of herself, whatever, and then she has a Patreon, whatever. She announced that, I can't believe you haven't heard this, I know you have, she's selling her bathwater, and she, like, took a little, like, ad video, and it's her, like, taking this container, scooping bathwater that she's sitting in, and she sold it for $30, and it sold out in a day. That, to me, is, like, that's smart.
A fucking deal.
That's, like, whether you buy that ironically or not.
You know what's ironic about that?
What?
Is I went over to B's house the other day, and he has 30 containers of bath water all labeled in his closet.
To buy 10, get one free.
That's a businessman.
Three free cups.
That's a businessman right there. No, but that's how you should, I guess, I don't know how you want to put it, like, market your image.
I had enough water.
It's unfortunate that females have a better ability to make money on Instagram by posting those kind of pictures and stuff, because if I take a picture of my shirt off, I'm going to be disgusted looking at it, so I don't want to post it.
I mean, if I could get away with selling my bath water, then I would probably be on a Dobrik's podcast right now.
Technically, there are male models, so what we're really getting at is
we're just ugly men.
Yeah,
We're ugly men that aren't worth shit that girls are tweeting about.
We're just jealous and we're just mad, so we're venting on the podcast because we can't sell our bathwater.
Description of this episode, the boys realize they aren't shit.
The boys realize, in fact, men aren't shit.
Hey, bro, you know, we'd get all kind of female listeners with that.
I don't know, like, okay, so in real talk, in a woman's perspective, like, if you're a girl, if you think about it, there's, like, a whole movement, or there's been a whole movement on, like, women's rights and, like, not sexualizing a female, and then you have other females are like, hey, buy my bath water, I'm attractive.
I mean, yeah, they are really confusing, and that's to the point that, you know, it doesn't make me mad anymore because I just don't care about them. Like, in the most respectful way possible. Like, no, like, if you want to use your body in sexual pictures and whatnot, and you want to post that online the clout, you know, you do you. If you're mad about it, let's get mad about it. If you don't care about it, hey, I don't care about it either. And you realize how well you'll get along with everybody if you just tell them that you have the same mindset as them. I mean, as long as they're not your best friend, are you really being fake, Denny? But it doesn't really matter.
Trey, you grill me for this on PlayStation all the time, but my ideology is just if you care about it, then that's when you get mad. I just simply don't give a fuck about most shit because it's not worth worrying about. Like, we'll sit there and we'll play Rocket League, and then I do something stupid, and then we get scored on, and then Trey gets real mad, and I'm just like, damn, man, sorry, I just don't care, and then I get flamed.
No, it's because it's stuff that I care about. And,
and then that's when it's a problem.
But look, so something that I care about, like a competitive game on my PlayStation. So I paid a bunch of money for a PlayStation, paid for a game, paid for the headset to talk, paid for the controller, paid for the membership, and now I'm on here trying to play at a high level, and Zay's doing kickflips into our own goal. Like, I don't even, and you expect me to not get mad, but no, see, it's different because, see, I'm getting mad about that, and we're out here talking about girls getting mad at other girls because girls can't come to an agreement on how girls should be.
So, on the topic of Rocket League, should we announce that we got signed to an organization?
So, we didn't actually get signed, but we're going to act like we did because, actually,
Tell them the story.
A really stupid. So, one time, I'm gonna take it way back real fast.
Why don't you just for anyone who doesn't know what the game is, just give a basic layout.
What Rocket League is it's pretty much soccer with cars, and you have boosts on the back, so you can like do a little bit of flying, but you'll run out.
There's like a whole like professional level of like, you know, esports organizations,
like,
yada yada.
People play this like professionally and
for thousands of dollars
in big tournaments. Like, they're considered pros at this game, and me, Zay, and Caleb signed up to play in the tournament last season, and we're actually not too bad. So we got in the first game, and we were beating the crap out of this other team. So as we always do, we started talking as much crap to him as possible.
The first game of the tournament, I'm going to just emphasize that.
I'm talking, we're up by like 4 to 5 goals, and all of a sudden, you look up in the top corner, and Zay and Caleb are, you know, telling them good game, telling them to forfeit, telling them they're bad, what a save in them.
I was like, toxic.
Absolutely ripping these kids. And all of a sudden, I go back on my computer, and I'm looking at the game on the website, and the chat box pops up and says that a moderator has been called to the chat. And
we were still mid-game while this happened.
We were in the middle of the game, and then I see their team captain post a link, so I clicked on the link, and it was an Instagram picture where he had taken a picture of what we were saying. And put it online so that this moderator could go see it.
He reported us mid-game.
He reported us for being toxic, and the moderator disqualified us from the whole contest.
No, before that even happened, Trey tells me what's going on, like, live while we're still playing. So me and Caleb start saying, oh, you guys are really good. Man, what a close game. We start trying to counteract it.
They tried so hard, but by the time that Instagram picture had went out, so the moderator disqualified us from the tournament. He left the chat.
And it was double elimination. We didn't just get an L for the game. He just booted us straight out of the tournament.
And like I said, we were playing really good. So then we called him back into the chat. And we told him that we didn't think it was fair. And they told us to quit calling him back in the chat because they had already disqualified us. So they left. And then
we called him a third time.
We called him again. And right when they came in, we just left. So we got out of there.
No, the second time was when you tried to explain it. You said, look, so in a game of football, and you started talking about penalties and all this and that. And he's like, this is a sport. Yeah, and that's when he said, don't bring us back.
How are you gonna tell us in a competitive game like that that we're not allowed to trash talk? I mean, trash talk is what sports are built on.
Snowflakes, man. Bunch of snowflakes.
Yeah, it's this new generation.
We didn't even cuss. I just started talking trash. That's all. Just a little friendly banter. Little friendly banter.
But anyway, so since I knew it was going to take a whole nother year before we could even try and play in that one again, I went online and tried to find a team that we could all join. And honestly, I don't even know why I tried, because it was just a bunch of stupid stuff posted on this forum.
I mean, you looked for like a specific like ranking, right?
Yeah, we had to look for our specific area and ranking.
of skill.
And I mean, it's not the highest. We're not bad, but it's not the highest. And I found this post, and it was like, it's called Amber Esport. I don't know what it means, but
just like amber, like the dinosaurs. You know what I'm talking about, like the gold shit.
So anyways, what had happened is I posted our registration for all three of us to join, and it was like, all right, well, we'll message you with details if we choose you to come like play on a team. And what we did is we never heard from him, but we acted like we were playing for him.
Yeah, so then we took it upon ourselves. Well, I did, because I was like the leader. You can make this thing called clubs in the game. It's basically like clan tags or whatever, but we renamed our club to Amber Esports, and now we just basically took over their whole organization.
Yeah, we don't have any meaning behind it. We don't know what it meant. It's actually, if you aren't us, it just looks really stupid.
Yeah, so every time me and Trey and Caleb join like a ranked game or whatever, and we play another club, it just says Amber Esports.
That's crazy. Well, anyway, for the listeners, me and Zay went on a little date today.
I had a good time.
I just texted him last night. Not an actual date. We were just chilling with the bros.
It was a date.
Texted him last night. We went to the gym. Then after the gym, we went to this little, what'd you call it? A cafe, a bistro?
It's a bistro and a wine bar. I'm just going to go ahead and shout them out. I used to work there. It's a great restaurant. It's in Austin Landing. It's called LA. You guys probably know it as the Cake Shop in West Carrollton. But they also have a bistro and a wine bar on Austin Landing. And it, I mean, B can back me up. They serve really good food.
They really do. I've had it for my third time today. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten, it's close to the same dish every time. It's some sort of sandwich. Every single one I've had.
You want me to tell you what it is? I can tell you.
I mean, if you
want.
So
it's a club sandwich. It's got honey roasted ham. It's got some smoked turkey, some applewood bacon, lettuce, tomato. Then it's topped off with some ghost pepper cheese and some grape butter jam on some sourdough bread. Boom.
Long story short, the sandwich was delicious. Not only was the
sandwich.
Not only was the sandwich delicious, the service there, every time I've went, has been absolutely outstanding. The waitress we had was a very nice elderly lady. She was very kind, very great to us. And the head chef actually came out, and Zay knows him from previous times.
Yeah, I used to work there. It's my man's.
And he actually came out to our table, and we talked to him for a little bit, and it was a great time.
I mean, I would hope that their service, it's always been good when I've gone there, but I would hope that it would be good for their food is a little on the pricey side.
The food is definitely expensive.
It's definitely worth it. It's always good.
I mean, it's like an $11, $12
sandwich. Don't even put the cents on the menu. It's that kind of fancy. Yeah, it's like fancy. It's like cheddar ravioli 22. like a ham and cheese sandwich, 12.
Yeah, basically. It's like, it'll put like .. 12. Like, I went there. Tell you straight up.
I went there around Valentine's Day, and they had these like promotions out, and you could get like a 3 or 4 course meal with wine, and it was like over $120 for just like two people.
Oh yeah, well that's also when they do like specialty, like they have this thing at Austin Landing called Restaurant Week, and it's basically when like all the restaurants like bring out their best food, and like they also do the same type of food for like those same events. And I remember when I worked there, we had restaurant week, and they had like a full like leg of lamb on like a bed of sauce, and like it's just decorated super nice. Excuse me if I offend some listeners, but it's way better than Red Lobster for the quality of food.
And honestly, I never knew that they actually made real food. Like he said, I always thought it was just like a cake place. But I think their food is probably better than their cake and their bakery.
Yeah. For sure. A lot of people know like, oh, that's the cake place with the buttercream icing, but their restaurant is not like, it doesn't just get noticed. It's like a little hole in the wall, and it's,
and that's awesome too.
Yeah, no, the ambiance and the vibe's great.
If any of y'all are listening to this, don't go there. That's our spot.
Yeah, that's our little spot.
Yeah,
stay away. Just get it carry out. Don't let no one know you went there.
Don't even get a carry out. Don't block their number.
No, it really is an addiction. Like, I used to work there, and I'd still love to come back and eat the food. Like B was saying last episode, he worked at the same pizza place for over 2 years and can't eat their food. I could have worked there for 7 years, and I would still eat their food.
And then not only did they go to L.A. to eat while I was, going to work, then they, what'd you guys go to after that?
Afterwards, we went across the street, and they had a movie theater there, and we watched...
Was it called, like, Sinopolis or something?
Sinopolis,
yeah. Sinopolis.
Like yeah, okay. It's the new movie theater that where you can deliver food to and stuff like that. Like, they'll bring you your food.
We went to go see the new Spider-Man Far From Home movie.
Oh, how many times have you seen it now, Brayden?
I've seen it one time before today.
So, you've seen it twice now.
Yes.
How many times have you seen it?
Sadly, that was my first time seeing it. I'm usually quick on the Marvel movies. Like, I went and saw Endgame opening night, and then I saw it the following night, too. So
Spider-Man, I know. I'm sorry to everybody that was offended in the last podcast here because of my Marvel comments. But I have watched Spider-Man since I was growing up, so yeah. I do like Spider-Man.
Have you seen the new movie or no?
No. It actually turns out that Brayden has gone right before I get off work two times now.
To be fair, I just liked it.
Two of our best friends.
I would just like to say that the first time he definitely gave me permission to go see it.
He was like, I was gonna get off work at 4:30 and it's like 2:30, and he's like, "Hey man, me and Cam were thinking about going to see the Spider-Man movie, but we can wait if you want." And I was like, "Nah, it's cool. I didn't want to tell him no." And then he hits me with, "I mean, I'll go see it again if you want." And then, I just haven't gone yet.
I made sure to specify that I would wait, but it's all right. Because, honestly, the fact that I would even consider knowing how much you hate Marvel movies, I think is kind of generous.
But I think that's the excitement. It's like when I went to go see Endgame, I've never seen a Marvel movie up until... Actually, I've seen like one of the
Captain Americas,
but other than that, no other Marvel movie, and I went and I saw Endgame. And, I mean, it was cool.
I was going to say, how did you feel about it? Because most of the enjoyment, I feel like, that comes from that movie is knowing, like, all 22 movies that led up to it. How did you feel about it, only seeing one of those?
I mean, I feel like I enjoyed it more because I haven't seen the 22 movies leading up to it, because I probably wouldn't have made it through the first four of those 22 movies before I was bored out of my fucking mind. So... to actually just see all of them at the end and at the end of the prime, and as, you know, people were dying, shout out Iron Man, R.I.P.
Oh, no. I guess it's been long enough to where you can give us spoilers.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Spoiler cast.
It was kind of cool to see all of them at the very end and not have to worry about their backstory, because it didn't really have to involve too much. It really only involved, like, the last movie when old Thanos dude snapped his fingers and turned
into Infinity War, yeah.
So, like, really... just knowing that he did that and half of them that happened to him, that's all you needed to know going into it.
I mean, yeah, but all the extra details is what makes it so great from being a fan's perspective.
Like I said, I've only seen one Marvel movie before that, and I was still able to, like, name the characters. I mean, it's not like I would have never heard of any of the superheroes.
Oh, yeah. It's
or
just
anything.
Like the little details and lines and stuff, but I mean, there's no way that even if you wanted to, you could have watched, like, all 20-something movies in time if you wanted to
I watched a 12-minute video called Everything You Need to Know.
Yeah,
if
that,
you haven't
that
seen
helps.
Anything before
that,
Endgame.
Those YouTube videos help.
Yeah.
But no, so I'm going to go ahead and take over the story here. We're walking over to Sinopolis, and me and B are talking about how much money that we just spend in L.A. because it's a little pricey and kind of went a little overboard, but it's whatever. We gave a good tip, whatever. Love to treat the place right. So we walk over there. And I've never been there before, so B shows me where you buy the tickets, and it's, like, on this little machine to the right of, like, where the dude, you know, checks your tickets. And we're sitting there, and we both pay $7.50 and, you know, like, pick our seats or whatever. And we walk over to where we're supposed to give man our tickets. Dude's not even there.
Absolutely gone.
Could have walked in and just saw the movie.
I didn't even see anybody at the concession stand.
All the workers were gone, and we could have just walked in for free.
You should have returned your tickets.
We bought it through a machine. There's no way.
You could have gone up to the front counter.
Where no one was.
Da-da-da.
We get all the way to the theater, and not only could we not have bought the tickets because nobody checked it, there were only four other people in the whole entire theater.
You want to know how they got in there?
Probably just walked in.
They just walked in.
So me and Zay sit into the theater with the four other people there, and we're maybe 10, 15 minutes into the movie. And if you're watching a good movie, you got to have some popcorn.
We did not want to get up.
And we just talked about how much money we spent eating L.A. It's great food. I don't regret it. But we're wanting some popcorn. Well, the good thing about the Cinépolis, or how do you pronounce it?
Cinépolis.
Whatever.
The good thing about Cinépolis is that they actually are supposed to deliver food to your seat in the theater. You get on your phone, you pull up the app, you order the food, they deliver it to you. I'm like, oh, let's do that so we don't miss it. Even though I've seen it, I didn't want to miss it. So I pull out my phone, I'm trying to get it to work, and they have gourmet popcorn. So I click on gourmet popcorn, and they have Cheetos, which has like Cheetos and like a bunch of Cheetos
first
dust.
First of all, I don't even know. I mean, I get cheddar popcorn, but Cheetos mixed with popcorn, like butter salt, just didn't sound good. So we chose the chocolate zebra.
They had a zebra popcorn, and it was caramel popcorn. And like every single popcorn kernel or the shell had chocolate icing and white icing on it. Like it wasn't just like the top. It was like all of them. It was great. So I try to order on my phone, and I pull out my little flashlight in the theater, trying to type in my card number to order it, to get it delivered, and it says error. So I hit the arrow to go back.
By the way, B, how much did you pay for that popcorn?
It was $9.92.
For
which Zay owes me half on.
It was in a small cup, smallest size.
It was in a small fountain cup, and then they had like a little bit of like parchment paper or something going up so they could fill it up a little bit more. But it wasn't a very good portion. So it says,
especially for two people.
It says error. So I click the arrow. I click it again. It says error again. So I eventually just get up, go to the concession stand. That's where I buy it up there, and I get back to the movie. Anyway, we finish the movie. I get home, and I check my email, and it says that I had like two online purchases. So I click them. So not only did I get charged $9.92 at the concession stand, I got charged for both times I tried ordering it on my app. So as of right now, Cinépolis owes me $20.
This episode is called Fuck Cinépolis.
Yeah, Buzzsprout's in the clear now, bro. Right.
Nah, Cinépolis was great, but
yeah, it was a good experience. $20. I feel like we really just be out here talking about restaurants and services and apps, and we just either love them or we just shit on them.
I ain't never gonna lie.
Yeah, we just keep it. We gonna keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Right, that's how it be.
So how was the movie?
It was great. For all my Marvel fans out there, honestly, it's the best Spider-Man movie to date, including Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, I thought it was great. We talked about last episode, special effects CGI, and this one had some,
it was great.
Really good CGI. Choreography for, the battle scenes were really good, and overall, just a good storyline. And also, my one and only celebrity crush, Zendaya, is in it. So, Zendaya, if you're listening, you did fantastic.
You know, I still watch the Spider-Man movies, but the best Spider-Man movie begins with Peter Parker getting bit by a spider.
Yeah, I mean,
That's number one.
I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and I like the natural bitten by a spider, radioactive spider route more than the gadgets. But for what Marvel has done with this movie, which I know you don't know too much about, Trey, but they include Tom Holland, Peter Parker's web gadgets with Tony Stark, and so he gets inherited by Tony, so he's got some pretty bad action.
I've seen the last few Spider-Man, so I was aware of his association with Tony Stark.
Wait, you've seen Homecoming?
I've seen every Spider-Man.
Oh, so you've seen? I guess
he's a Spider-Man fan.
I haven't. I didn't see the.
I was gonna
one.
Say you only said you saw one Marvel movie.
Well, that was before Endgame. When did that one Spider-Man come?
Homecoming came out before.
Does it count as a Marvel movie?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Listen, let him slide. He doesn't know like us. We know too much, but no, yeah. If you've seen all the Spider-Man movies,
I didn't.
That's cool.
I didn't see the one right after that, but in between Tom Holland and Tobey Maguire,
Andrew Garfield.
He was terrible.
Yeah, he just looked trash.
Yeah, how I feel about it is, Tobey Maguire was a really good nerd. Peter Parker, not a good Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield was a decent Spider-Man, but not a good nerd. He just looked too much like a Chad to me. And you know by Chad, I just mean the stereotypical frat boy is a Chad. You know, you got your Kyles, you got your Trays,
Fucking hate those guys.
I hate Trays. Welcome to Hate Trays Room.
honestly. Get out of my room.
Thanks for having me, guys. I've actually been a guest this whole time. Nothing to do with this podcast.
So yeah, I'm still pretty salty that I haven't seen this Spider-Man yet, but I'm not very impressed.
I mean, I'm down to go see it again.
It's a decent film. Honestly, I'll probably wait till it comes out on like Redbox or something. It probably ain't worth that much money, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, you got your opinions, I got mine. No, we did get a couple messages about Trey's disapproval of Marvel, so sorry about that one.
Big negative feedback on that. Y'all did not like that.
That was honestly the only negative feedback I think we heard. They were like, hey, great episode. Fuck Trey.
Yeah, but speaking of last episode, I know we talked about... We started talking about movies that were being remakes, but that originally started, we were talking about me and Zay both had Space Jams and Looney Tunes shirts on. And then later that night, ironically, or actually the next night, me and Brayton sat down, we were watching YouTube, and we were watching this show, and it was called, you know, Guess the Cartoon, and it played 1 second of the theme song, and then it played 2 seconds, and then 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I think I've seen that before. I've seen that.
And it just made me think, like, all these cartoons, these people were getting right off the bat, but they were, like, so out of our age.
Mm-hmm.
They were so out of date. Just got the ball rolling. If you had to put a list together, Zay, top three.
Top three, like, childhood shows?
Cartoons.
Number one, Ed, Edd n Eddy. Grandpa raised me off Ed, Edd n Eddy. Another thing he raised me off of, this is a goat show. Anyone who says different is wrong. Samurai Jack.
Never seen Samurai
Jack. Yanger. You can watch it to this day. It's like, it's a yanger. And then, honestly, I mean, I woke up every Saturday morning with a bowl of cereal in my hand, and I watched Pokemon. And I still play the Pokemon games. I'm not even going to lie. I can
respect that.
Me and Alex would grind Pokemon. Like, I'd go over to his house in Berg, and we'd wake up Saturday morning, and we'd watch Pokemon, and then we'd go swimming.
I kind of wish I played, or I, like, focused on that kind of stuff more. Because now I don't know anything about it, and, like, they just released the Pokemon movie. And, like, I watched the movie, and, like, you know about the Pokemon and stuff like that. But, like, right. We watched it with my girlfriend's family last night. And her little brother knew about Pokemon, and he would see one. He's like, oh, that's so-and-so, and oh, and that's so-and-so, and oh, that's so-and-so. And he, like, already knew what they could do and everything like that. And I was like, dang, I didn't even know.
The thing is, sorry, baby boomers or whoever, whatever age group you are, we had the best cartoons as a kid. We had prime shows our age.
Oh, top three, yeah.
Like, 1990s to early 2000s. Like, I'm not even going to leave out, because there were some bangers that came out in the early 2000s.
B, prime shows. Put together a top three list.
Of cartoons?
Cartoons.
As a kid, like, kid shows.
All time. Of your, like, your favorite all time cartoons.
Wait, like, today, too?
No, well, I mean, like... Do you still avidly watch cartoons today?
I mean, I watch, like, animated shows, yeah, like Rick and Morty.
We're not
like
counting that.
Yeah, so kid shows.
Yeah, kid cartoons, all time.
I honestly can't think of many cartoons I watched as a kid. When I was watching TV, it was more so...
You kidding me?
You're telling me you never watched Rugrats, Wild Thornberries. Those aren't even, like, those are decent, but those aren't even up there. I'm just naming stuff.
Bro.
No.
I'm about to hit y'all with my top five because I can't even get to top three.
Let's hear the nostalgia trip.
Number one.
Ooh. No, start five.
Start five?
Yes.
You want me to start with five? Number five, I'm going to put SpongeBob because it's the most cliche one.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to put it at the bottom, but that's still one that I was turning that on from the womb to today. Like, that's my, that ranks pretty high. Number four, Fairly Odd Parents.
Alright, I like that one.
That show, it's almost like the premature version of Rick and Morty because he can do whatever he wants, and like it just kind of shows like it's what every kid wants is to be able to make wishes and just have a blast and not care about anything. So that show was super, super cool. Next one, gonna throw y'all off. I used to love this show. Hey Arnold. Old football head ass, bro. That used to be my show.
I would only see Hey Arnold with the Proud Family and George Lopez after I woke up at 3 a.m. from a bad dream. That's the I saw those shows then, late night.
You want to know what my number two is?
Yeah, I want to
blow your
two.
Mind even
what
more.
Is it?
Cat Dog.
That was a good show.
Brayton, were you?
Those are like early 90s.
I think I don't. Yeah, so. I don't think he. I think our age gap with Brayton.
It's only like a year too.
Yeah, I know where that's where Cat Dog cut off. Like when he was of age to watch it.
All right. What about number one?
My number one favorite cartoon of all time.
That you watched as a kid.
That I watched as a kid. Well, I mean, I kind of watched this one when I was a little older, but I'm still gonna consider myself a kid. And it kind of runs along with, you know, Rick and Morty and the Fairly Odd Parents. And I bet if you thought long enough, you could get it.
Futurama.
Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, okay.
That's my number one. I would pick SpongeBob, but like I said, that's cliche. I'd still watch that to this day. It's still one of my top shows to this day. But other than that, I still think Phineas and Ferb. I used to record that.
Phineas and Ferb is like my brother's like kid's age, though.
That's what I said.
I mean, that's only like 3 years. I mean, it's whatever.
It was like right at the end of my cartoon days.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like the prime spot because then I was like only kind of watching cartoons. So when I only kind of got to watch them, I was watching that, and it just made it like more worth it.
I mean, if we're gonna keep it real, I watched The Wiggles until I was like 7.
Well, The Wiggles isn't a cartoon.
No, I'm just talking kids shows. Fruit Salad, that was a banger, bro.
Yummy, yummy.
That was a banger. Yeah. I listened to that every day until I was like 7.
And you can still sing it to this day and not be mad about it too. Like
Fruit Salad is healthy. It's a banging song. It's just overall a good time. Another thing I do want to talk about, though, is kind of a similar ballpark range. No, whatever. Top three movies as a kid. I'm going to tell you right now. One of mine was... Oh, shit, what was it called? Scary Godmother? Is that the one?
Never seen it.
I really hope that title's right. It's the one... It's like kind of cartoony, animated, about the kid on Halloween... And there's, like, all the monsters, and it's, like, it's super cliche about monsters not being real, but they are. And then on Halloween, they all go trick-or-treating, and anybody who knows what movie I'm talking about already knows a fan. You already love that movie, but what some of yours?
I don't think I was ever, like, too crazy about animated movies as much. Like, on the last podcast, like I said, my favorite movie of all time is probably Remember the Titans. And then another one that I watched when I was a kid was probably Benchwarmers. And, I mean, when I say kid, this is like...
That's like 12, right? 12.
Yeah. Yeah, 12, right around there.
I'm talking kid movies. Like you can name some Disney movies. I didn't want to limit it to Disney
but
movies.
Like, but, that's the thing. Like, I was just watching Phineas and Ferb. I didn't watch no kid Disney movies. If Phineas and Ferb wasn't on, I was watching, you remember the Titans, they're Benchwarmers.
If I had to pick three movies from my childhood, I guess I would try to... I'm going to try to divide it up into, like, different ages. If I had to go from, like, my very early years, like, I don't even remember. I just see pictures and stuff. Mm-hmm. I loved the Toy Story movies. Okay. I had, like, a little Woody toy that I carried around.
You had a little Woody?
Yeah. I got a bunch of pictures with it hanging up on my fridge. And
Mom's real proud.
I really liked Toy Story through probably until I was, like, 5, 6. I don't know. After that, I'm thinking up to, like, 6 to, like, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. I really fucked with Star Wars. Heavy. That's when my dad got me on Star Wars. I started watching them. I started getting all the toys. Mm-hmm. Star Wars was great. My cousin loved Star Wars as well. So every time, you know, Thanksgiving... Just going over to my aunt and uncle's, we had the lightsabers. We were fighting. We were bringing over our action figures. That's what it was. It was Star Wars. So I also have to give love to Star Wars. And don't get me wrong, I'm keeping up with them. I will also watch those, like Trey said. I watch them to this day. But when I was a kid, it was a really big movie to me.
Yeah, my same grandpa, the one on my mom's side that got me into Samurai Jack and Ed, Edd n Eddy, also raised me on Star Wars. So... I was, like, maybe, like, 13, and I was talking about Boba Fett and Jango Fett and the Clone Wars and all this stuff. I haven't really seen... Well, I've seen the newer movies, but I haven't paid much attention to them. I don't think I've seen the last one, but...
You know, I might just upset a whole lot of people in this podcast, when I just say, you know, screw Marvel and screw Star Wars. I think I've never
canceled Trey.
I've seen a fair share of movies. Actually, I take that back. That's a big lie.
I've seen 3 movies in my life.
My girlfriend's family makes fun of me all the time because they always ask me. They're like, "Oh, Trey, have you seen this movie?" And I always say no. Like, I've never seen any. Her dad will throw something on TV and he'll be like, "Oh, have you seen this?" And I don't even know what it's about or, and it always happens.
All right, this is a very important question. Sorry to cut you off, but have either of you ever seen the Kill Bill movies?
No.
Directed by Quentin Tarantino.
No.
Way back.
Part 1 and 2 are both some of the best movies in cinematic history, and my dad showed me that. Quality films.
No. Those are probably like ranked number 99 and 100 in bottom 100 list, bro.
The disrespect.
You want to know what movie is ranked number 1 of all time and will probably forever hold that rank?
He's going to say Despicable Me. What is it, Trey?
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, that's a good movie. I'll give you that one.
That is a great fucking movie.
I'll give you that one.
That movie's 3.5 hours long, and I could watch that over and over.
I could watch it every day. If I came home from work and watched that movie every single day, I would never get bored.
I, one time, fell asleep watching that movie, and I woke up. You know how you wake up, and you're kind of like out of it for a second. I was pissed because I was like, oh, I don't remember what part of it I was at. I wake up and the movie was still on.
Yeah, you got a full night's rest.
Yeah.
Woke up and I'm still playing.
And it was probably like one of the best parts.
Who's mad?
There is
nobody.
There's a movie I'm trying to see, and it has Leonardo DiCaprio, Margot Robbie in it again.
The Hollywood
and
movie.
It's directed by
Quentin Tarantino.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And I don't know why I haven't seen it.
You want to go see it? We'll go on another date.
Let's ask Trey when he gets off work.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
You want to come to our date? You can supervise.
I'll get back to you about it.
Trey's a very busy man.
I'll RSVP.
All right, that sounds good. So we're going to get to our segment of the male moment of the week now. This male moment of the week is going to be for me. So this week, I'm at work. I'm working as, you know, I said I sell parts for, like, automotive vehicles and shit like that. And I'm a cashier, so I don't know why they had me doing this in the first place. But I'm out back, and I'm unloading our shipment from the truck. Like, you know, the big semi, they, like, drop off parts, and it's usually just a whole bunch of tires. So we had, like, a little line where someone in the very front, or I guess, yeah, the front, like, the deepest part of the truck from the back, would roll the tires. Someone would pick them up and put them over this, like, stack of other stuff and then roll them. And I was the guy that stood in between the middle of the docking bay and the semi-truck. And when you back up the truck into a docking bay, there's, like, maybe like 6-inch like pads, so you know the truck doesn't hit the cement. And so I'm the dude standing over top of that little gap, and I'm picking up a tire. I have like 1 foot in the truck, I have 1 foot outside of the truck on the loading bay, and I go to pick up this tire, right? And I go to like sidestep to bring it over to the guy to throw it on the pallet, and my foot turns, you know, like 90 degree angle, and it falls in between this gap, and my whole leg gets consumed by the gap that is the truck in the docking bay. So now I'm just sitting there. My leg isn't even long enough to hit the parking lot below it. And I have one leg up to, like, my face. Like, my knee is up to my face. And my other leg is just dangling in between. And the most embarrassing part was when I had to look up at this dude that also works there in the Marines. And I just held my hands up like a baby. And he had to pick me up and pull me outside of this gap. And I just turn around and everyone's just staring at me like, this dumbass.
Imagine applying for a job to sell automotive parts. And they got you out there laboring in between a semi-truck and a cement barrier connected to the building.
Yeah, you can probably get them for the child labor laws or something like that.
Child labor laws? I'm 21.
And on that note, we are going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. Thanks for tuning into the second episode of Trey's Room.
Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Inside Trey's Room for updates and to know when and where our episodes are going live.
We also appreciate all the feedback. Please continue. I'm about to go home and figure out what my third favorite childhood movie is while I go play with my little Woody.